There was a Christian author who wrote a book, said, if you are 30 and unmarried, it's your fault. Christian author. There's a Greek word for that, baloney. Nowhere in the
this
Bible does
Tuesday,
it say, if
July
you're
16.
30 and unmarried, it's your fault.
Well, there's good news and bad news in what Pastor Paul Shepherd just said. The good news is you don't have to blame yourself if you're not married. You didn't sin. You didn't do anything to disqualify yourself from the possibility of marriage. But there's also some bad news. And Pastor Paul will talk about that on this Tuesday edition of Destined for Victory. He'll also share three theories on finding a spouse, all of which can be supported in Scripture. Stay with us now or visit PastorPaul.net to listen online on demand. That's PastorPaul.net, where you'll find links to all of Pastor Paul's social media platforms, including Twitter and YouTube. And now, from Destiny Christian Fellowship in Fremont, California, here's Pastor Paul with today's Destined for Victory message, Is Marriage in My Future?
Paul says, I wish you were like me. What is that? The giftedness to thrive without the distraction of sexual temptation. The average single has a promise, but the promise isn't guaranteed marriage. You may get married. Marriage may be in your future. But here's the promise God gives you. The promise is in Paul's writing to this same church, Corinth, when he says in chapter 10, there is no temptation that has taken you, but such that is common to man. Then he says, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that which you can stand, but will with the temptation make a way of escape that you may be able to bear. Some of you singles can testify. God might not have promised me a guarantee that I'm going to get married, but he has given me a promise that when temptation runs up on me, there is a way of escape that God himself has created so that I don't have to yield. There is a promise. Not everybody takes advantage of the promise, but there is a promise. The promise is, and this is a promise for single people and for married people, that there is nothing God will allow you to be tempted with. The enemy brings a temptation. Your flesh presents a temptation. But God, because you belong to him, he says, before I let that temptation set hold, I will make sure there's a way of escape. If you want out, God says, I'm going to get you out. Isn't that good news? But on this matter of guaranteed marriage, it's not a biblical concept. Not a biblical concept at all. The Bible didn't promise you, unless you have the gift of singleness, God has promised he's going to give you a spouse. However, again, my answer was, marriage may be in your future. I'm not saying it won't. I'm just saying it's not a guarantee for all singles from a biblical standpoint. Now, from a historical standpoint, that's also true. Historically, there has never been a time anywhere in redemptive history when every single person who was open to and available for marriage got married. It's just not a historical reality. There have been many men and women of faith who were open to the prospect of marriage if the right person came into their lives and they chose to partner with them in life partnership. There were many who were open to that, and it just never happened. And I want to say it is not because they lacked faith. It is not because they were walking in disobedience. Because there are those who will teach you that. There was a Christian author who wrote a book, said, if you are 30 and unmarried, it's your fault. Christian author. There's a Greek word for that, baloney. Greek word for that, baloney. Nowhere in the Bible does it say if you're 30 and unmarried, it's your fault. No. The fact of the matter is there are many who have been open to that prospect, and it never happened for them. So it's not a historical reality that every person, man and woman of faith, who is open to marriage actually gets married. Here's what you need to understand. Marriage is an institution ordained by God, but voluntarily entered into by a man and a woman who officially and legally covenant to live together in matrimony. God doesn't make them get married. Rather, he blesses and sanctions the covenant they choose to enter into. Now, it's important for you to understand, God is the author of marriage. He's the founder, the creator of the institution of marriage. But that is not to say that he is the one who personally ordains that every person who doesn't have this giftedness that Paul spoke of is guaranteed a spouse. No, the Bible simply teaches that it is a human institution, ordained, created by God, but humans choose to enter into it. Some choose to enter in, some do not choose, some are open to it, but it does not happen for them. So marriage, brothers and sisters, is not inevitable, but it may be in your future. Now, if it is in your future, let's talk about how this hookup is supposed to occur. There are three positions in the kingdom of God regarding how people hook up for marriage. What I want to say is that each position is legitimate. There are people of faith who hold each of the positions, and you are free to. What I want to say, though, is you can't impose one position as the only right one as if the others are wrong. So I want to share all three with you, because all of you who may get married one day will fall into one of these three categories. Here's the first one. The first position I call the Cinderella theory. There are some people who believe there is one person God has sort of ordained in eternity past that they are to hook up with, and that what they are believing God to do is to bring them together with that one and only person that God has preordained. There are some people who believe that's the way the hookup occurs. God picked them. He's going to bring you all into general proximity, and all y'all have to do is hook up. Close the deal. It's kind of eHarmony on high. God did it. You just finish it up. Some people believe that. I call it the Cinderella theory because it's like the story of Cinderella. You know, there was only one woman in the whole kingdom whose foot perfectly fit that slipper. Remember that story? I love that story. I love a lot of these fairy tales. They got truth in them, too. Love that story. And, you know, you remember that. Cinderella's all home, tattered. Her evil god sisters and godmother don't want her to go, and they go to the ball trying to impress the prince, but she's home alone. But God blesses her with a fairy godmother, and the fairy godmother, you know, gets her ready and turns the pumpkin into a carriage and tattered clothes into a gown, gets her all set, get her hair did, nails did, and she's ready to go. She shows up at the ball. Y'all remember that? She stands at the top of the steps. Princess has danced with all the other folk, but none of them are ringing his bell. But oh, he looks up and sees this woman. And the song wasn't out in his day, but if it had been out, he'd have sung it. When I first saw you, I said, oh my. Oh my, that's a dream. Some of y'all never saw Dreamgirls. You don't know what I just said. All right. And so you know the story. They dance and they get along and it's all wonderful. And the man's feeling great. This is the woman I've been waiting on. Oh, but the clock starts to strike toward 12, and she has to run out because the fairy godmother told her, you're going to have to get out of there by 12. All this magic going to go away at 12. And she runs out, but she runs out of one of the slippers and gets back home. Now she's back to the tattered clothes and what have you, hiding in the house. But the prince has the one slipper, and you know how he goes around the kingdom, and he tries on a many a foot trying to find who this woman was. And they all trying to get their foot in there. They want to be the princess, so they all working hard, trying to get their foot in there. That's what some of y'all are doing right now. That's why God's sending this, because you're trying to fit some slipper that you have no business trying to get in. You know good and well your foot ain't going to fit in that slipper, but you keep on trying to make it. I don't know why this thing is. And I came to tell you, get your foot out there so you know that don't belong to you. Trying to hook up with this raggedy man, trying to make something work that you know ain't gonna work. your foot out that slipper. Marrying as a project. You don't do that. If it's not for you, believe it. It's not for you. Don't try to marry as a project. You're going to find your project is over budget and behind schedule. But anyway, you know the story that the prince showed up and he found Cinderella and her foot went in there perfectly. And then she turns back into the beautiful woman she was at the thing and they ride off and they live happily ever after. Now, there's a lot of y'all who believe that in the kingdom. You're sort of a Cinderella theory. You believe God's going to hook you up and this magical thing is going to happen. If you believe that, according to your faith, be it unto you. It's not my job to talk you out of that. So for some of you that you believe that's the way God's going to do it. Great. Second theory is not Cinderella. I call the second theory, any good size 8 will do. Any good size 8 will do. Some of you all hold this position. This position says there are any number of people I could potentially marry and be in the will of God. If you hold that position, you tend to think of things like what Paul said later on in 1 Corinthians 7, where he says, marry who you will, just make sure they're in the Lord. Paul did say that. And so those who hold the any good size 8 theory will do theory, they believe that you could marry a number of people, that God didn't preordain that you hook up with just this one person. They believe you could marry any number of people who could be reasonably suited for you, and the two of you enter into covenant, live together, and it works well. And in fact, there are many saints who married that way, and that's exactly what has panned out in their lives. And, you know, those who really promote that idea, they say things like, well, look at the kingdom of God. Many folks got married before they even got saved. But now that they're saved in the kingdom, they commit to one another. They do what it takes to make the marriage work, and things work out. It wasn't like it was the only person they could have been married to. They weren't even saved when it happened. So there are some who are looking for any good size 8. If that's what you're doing in faith, the Lord will bless you. According to your faith, be it unto you. Don't let the Cinderella folk talk you out of it. If you're doing your investigating, checking out all the size 8s, that's fine. Do it honorably.
Stay with us. Pastor Paul Shepherd will be right back with the rest of today's Destined for Victory message, Is Marriage in My Future? In addition to radio, today's program is also available on demand at PastorPaul.net or on the go through our free mobile app. Search Destined for Victory at your app store. You can use the app to order resources. You can take notes on the daily message or make a safe and secure donation. You can also access the broadcast through Alexa by enabling the Destined for Victory skill. Well, there are 3 biblical ways to find a spouse, and the third one might surprise you. Let's join Pastor Paul for the rest of today's message, Is Marriage in My Future?
That's what Pastor's here to tell you. If you are investigating the size 8, because people who believe that theory, they tend to date a number of people. They tend not to just be looking for this one soulmate. They tend to date a number of people. I'm just challenging you, if that's your position, do it honorably. When you're trying on the size 8s, there are certain things you can't try. I'm going to be straight. I'm shooting straight. Just blush when you have to. If you're trying out the size 8s, sex is off the table. That's not part of the trial. Don't let the enemy lie to you. Well, how are you going to know if you're compatible in that area? Since you said they got to be the only one you have sex with for the rest of your life, I heard you, Pastor, you the one with preaching that. And since that you said that, trying to put me in it. Like, what I got to do with you trying to figure out how to sin? Since you said that, it just makes sense that you need to check them out in that area and make sure y'all compatible. No. You check out all the God-ordained areas. You talk about the right issues. Then when it comes to that one, when you get into pre-engagement counseling with the pastor going to talk y'all through some things. And I can determine while we're sitting there talking, everybody's clothes on. I I can determine whether y'all gonna have a struggle or not. But if you do it God's way, you won't come out of the deal disappointed. Because God's the one who said, don't touch them till they say I do, until you say I do, and the covenant has taken place. Don't touch them in that way until that happens. Since that's God's idea, he's not setting you up for failure. And if you get the right kind of counseling, you'll be fine. I've counseled a many person, and they did it God's way, and were just trusting God that this area is going to be all right. And they came back and said, thank you, Jesus. They come back, typically when they come back first Sunday, they give me a big hug. Oh, Pastor! One brother was scared. He said, Pastor, I'm concerned. He said, I got a little bit of a past, and we talked about it and all that. She's straight, but she don't have no past. She's been believing God and holding herself purity. And he said, I'm a little concerned. I hope I can hold up. I said, what you mean? He said, just pray for me. I said, oh, yeah, God gonna give you strength, brother. God gonna give you strength. You're gonna be all right. Anyway, that's not in my notes. Now, there's a third theory. I don't have a cute title for it. It's arranged marriages. Arranged marriages. Now, see, here in the Western Hemisphere, we don't think a lot about it because it's not popular among us. But the fact of the matter is, in today's world, more than half of the people who are married on the planet today are married as a result of an arranged marriage. More than half. You know why that strikes us strange? Because we live in America, and Americans, we tend to think the way we do it is the way the world does it. We are full of ourselves. We have the World Series and don't invite the world to play. Come on, y'all know we a trip. Now you just might as well admit it. We are a hot mess. We are a straight trip. How you had a World Series and the world can't play? We just full of ourselves. Fact of the matter is, most people on the planet get married through arranged marriages. The last statistic I saw is nearly 60%. More than half of the people married today on the planet, it's arranged marriages. You even see it in your Bible. You look it over because you're not trying to get married that way, but it's right in your Bible. Look at Genesis chapter 24. Remember when Abraham was looking for a spouse for his son Isaac? And he's an old man laying on the bed. He got his servant, and he told his servant, put your hand under my thigh. It's a sign of covenant. He said, and promise me that you will find a suitable woman for my son Isaac. He told him, don't pick her from one of these heathen countries. He laid it out, said, find the right woman and bring her back here so my son Isaac, who has now lost his mother, he can have a wife. Read Genesis 24 when you get a chance. The servant went praying. He said, Lord, I don't know what I'm doing here, but I need you to guide me. He put out a fleece. Remember that? He said, Lord, make it so that the woman that I'm supposed to take back for Isaac comes out to meet me, offers water at the well. Remember that? And the Lord honored his faith, and he met Rebecca. Long story short, he brings Rebecca back. Isaac is in the field, grieving the death of his mother. And he looks up, and here comes his father's servant and a beautiful woman. And the servant says, Isaac, Rebecca. Becca, Isaac. Y'all get to know each other. And he's done his work. And the Bible says Isaac was comforted during the time of grieving of the loss of his mother in the arms of a brand new wife. Arranged. It's legitimate. Happens a lot. Just not in your family. What am I saying? Doesn't matter which of the theories you buy into, God can work in either of them. So whatever you hold, hold it in faith. Believe in faith, and the Lord will bless you. There's no guarantee, but these are the ways people hook up in marriage. I wish, frankly, let me just be honest with you as I wrap this up. We'll continue the next message. Let me just be honest. I wish there were more arranged marriages, because clearly we don't know what we're doing. Now, I wasn't expecting to get a whole lot of amens on that point. I didn't say it to get a whole lot of amens, but many of you old heads know if our kids would let us, we could keep y'all from making these dumb decisions. Y'all bringing something up in there talking about you want to marry it. And we looking at you like, are you on crack? What's the matter with you? What in the world make you think this is a halfway good idea? My mother would say things like, that don't make mule sense. My mother loved talking about mule sense. I never did figure out what mule sense was. She said, she's a country girl, don't make mule sense. I wish some of our children would trust us. I hook you up. I'm not going to do you wrong. I bet our statistics would beat these current ones. These current ones, more than half of what y'all picking ain't working out for you. We had one couple in Philadelphia, never made it home from the honeymoon. When you saw them before they got married, you couldn't get air between them. Just all hugged up. Just, ooh. By the time they got home, they went in two separate directions. Because they didn't get counsel, didn't seek God, didn't seek the wisdom of the pastor of the church, thought they knew what they were doing. So I wish some of y'all need to trust your pastor to pick your spouse for you. I just wanted to see your shock and all. Let's stand.
Thanks so much for being here with us for today's Destined for Victory message is Marriage in My Future. As you may know, Destined for Victory is a listener-supported ministry, and we want you to be encouraged by how powerful your prayers and financial support can be. To learn about the impact you're having in people's lives, log on to PastorPaul.net and request your copy of Pastor Paul's monthly letter of encouragement, yours at no cost or obligation. Well, it's hard to have a healthy marriage if you enter that marriage unhealthy. In his booklet, Victoriously Single, Pastor Paul takes you through the steps of living a healthy single life so that you'll be better prepared to create a healthy marriage and family life. This is a great resource for anyone who has never been married but wants to be. It can also be of help to those who have lost a spouse and need to rediscover what it means to live a healthy and victorious single life. Again, that's Victoriously Single, a booklet from Pastor Paul Shepherd and our gift to you by request for your generous gift to Destined for Victory. Call 855-339-5500 or visit PastorPaul.net to make a safe and secure donation online. You can also mail your gift to Destined for Victory, Post Office Box 1767, Fremont, California, 94538. Again, the address is Destined for Victory, Box 1767, Fremont, California, 94538.
Marriage is a job. It's ministry. It's not glamour, it's ministry. You got to sacrifice to have a good marriage. You got to take a step back from some of the stuff you want to do to have a good marriage. You got to compromise to have a good marriage.
That's next time in Pastor Paul Shepherd's message, Act Like a Christian Lady, Think Like a Christian Man. Until then, remember, he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. In Christ, you are destined for victory.